For the last few weeks, we've been discussing different parables that are found in the Gospel of Matthew. Last week, Pastor Joel described how seed that was scattered over different types of ground will either wither and die or grow and produce more seed. In the parable that follows, we look and we hear what happens to seed that is scattered onto good soil. In this parable, Jesus tells the story of a man who sowed good seed in his field only to discover that an enemy has sown tares or weeds among the wheat. And when the servants of the field owner suggested pulling out the tares, he advised them to wait until the harvest, lest they uproot the wheat as well. He explained that both the wheat and the tares would grow together until the harvest, where the separation would take place. What might this say to us, and how might we interpret this? We will look briefly at three ways that this parable is described within church history, within the tradition of the church, and some questions that are raised for us that are beneficial for us to ask as we look at this parable. Saint Cyril of Alexandria, a father of the church, he focuses on the theme of divine judgment and separation when teaching how this parable is applicable to our lives. He explains that the parable reminds us that there will be a day of judgment, a day when God will separate the righteous from the wicked. And the wheat represents the children of the kingdom, while the tares symbolize those who oppose God's kingdom and continue to choose to live in sin. Saint Cyril encourages believers to live virtuously and to remain steadfast in knowing that God's justice will prevail in due time. Now, this interpretation most closely reflects the message that would have been directly heard by the original Greek-speaking Jewish Christians who were the audience of this parable. It is interesting to note that this parable is not included in any other gospel. So, Matthew, take from that Matthew is including this in his gospel because he has a very particular message that he is trying to get across. Now, some argue that this is because the direct audience of this gospel was in need of edification, and that they were in need of direct encouragement because they were facing pressure and they were facing political persecution as being followers or new followers to Christ. So we too are challenged then to ask ourselves where there is a similarity in this message for us today. Where do we see the wheat and the tares in our world? Now, I'm not much of a gardener. I would rather read gardening books or eat what comes from the garden. In our household, my wife Christy, she is the gardener, and she has a very similar story to what Pastor Cheryl shared. Now, this year, she planted different herbs and vegetables in our garden beds, and she did that with the kids. And she really likes to come home after work, and she'll go out and she'll putter around and water things, and I think it's something that really helps her to de-stress from her work. Now, when we were discussing this parable this week, she told me about how just this past spring, when her and our kids had been planting in the garden boxes, now, whether due to tiredness or Noah enjoying digging in the freshly upturned soil, or all of the kids enjoying to do that, somehow, some way, the seeds that had been very carefully labeled by Christy got unlabeled and mislabeled, and she had no clue what was coming up anymore. And so again, very similar to Cheryl, what she did is she just chose to let these things grow. Okay? She didn't know which were weeds, she didn't know which were the seeds or the different seeds that she had planted. So her strategy was to let them both grow together until she was able to tell them apart. Now, if you look at some pictures of the wheat and the tares that would have been in the minds of those who were originally hearing this gospel, you would notice that the wheat and the tares look awfully similar. You can go, a couple of weeks ago I was Googling this, and you can see images online, and they look very similar. So the people who were hearing this would have understood very clearly that the wheat and the tares growing up together look very similar up to a certain point. The only way to really tell them apart and to ensure that you get a good harvest of wheat is to let them grow and see what the seeds actually produce. So we too need to be patient, as God is patient, and trust that eventually the weeds in our world will be shown for what they truly are, and that we can trust that God is the one who can perfectly sort these things in the end. Now, St. John Chrysostom, who was an archbishop of Constantinople, he was known for his insightful commentaries and his preaching. I think he was called Golden Tongue or something because he was such a good preacher. And he often chose to speak truth to power in his sermons. Truth to the powers of the day, as the Eastern Roman Empire was still an empire of expansion and preservation and wealth. Regarding this parable, he emphasizes the patience and long-suffering of God. And just as the field owner tolerates the presence of the tares among the wheat, God too endures the existence of evil and sinners in the world. He gives time for repentance. He teaches that the church is a mixed community consisting of both righteous and sinful individuals, and that it is not the church's task to uproot the wicked, but to nurture the growth of the righteous. The weeds are the works of Satan and those who follow him, and Satan seeks to counteract what Christ does in this world in every way and brings forward false prophets, false teachers, and ultimately false Christs or antichrists. We are to be wary of false teachers, but also careful in our judgment or claims of what is true or what is right, as God alone has the capacity to fully and properly judge right from wrong and truth from falsehood. In this, we are reminded to be humble, to remain faithful to the gospel that is planted within us. This story reminds us to ask, where do we see the wheat and the weeds within the church? What are we to do when we see the weeds growing in our midst? Now, Martin Luther, in one of his sermons about this parable, reminds those who study this scripture that they should clearly understand that it is not our role to uproot false teachers in our midst. They are to continue to grow together with the wheat as we trust and hope that at some point they too may turn to the gospel and be transformed. He specifically uses this passage to call out the inquisitors who attempt to remove or silence false teachers, lest we realize that in time they were in fact right. Now, as a side note, I am absolutely certain that Martin Luther had no vested interest in seeing this passage in this particular way. Now, he goes on to say that they need to remain rooted in the good soil and not be removed to be burned, as they deserve a continued chance to have the grace of God and the gospel work in their lives. Now, this is similar to what Pastor Joel was speaking about last week in encouraging us to try and see things that we might be personally critical of as things that might actually be part of the kingdom at work in the world. He spoke of a tolerance and a love for others, no matter what. A belief that others just might be acting out of love when we judge them wrongly. And rather, we see them as having intolerance or hate, but maybe what they are doing or thinking or saying is rooted in something other. There is a belief that even though I may not align with another person politically, ideologically, theologically, there is a call for us to still love one another and to identify the image of God within them, no matter what my personal feelings or beliefs or the personal cost that it might have to me. So, while we are asked to identify weeds within the church, We must always remember that we are to do so with humility, grace, compassion, and love. Now, St. Gregory brings forth the concept of spiritual growth and transformation. He teaches about this parable that the fields represent the church and the wheat and the tares represent the faithful and unfaithful within the church. And he goes on to remind us that we all have weeds, and yet we all individually possess the potential for change. Through repentance and the grace of God, the tares can be transformed into wheat. This perspective calls us to examine our lives and to strive for spiritual growth and change. This is perhaps the most important question that we are challenged to ask. Where do I see both wheat and weeds in myself? And how am I being changed by the gospel at work in my life? Last week when I was discussing this passage with Dell, he reminded me of an Alexander Solzhenitsyn quote regarding good and evil, which is in all of us. And the quote goes on like this: "If only it were so simple, if only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and if it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line of good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of their own heart?" Our hearts, our very beings, have the capacity for good and evil. And it is only the presence of Christ in our lives that can change us into people who are better able to love both God and all that God has created. Now, I am no stranger to the idea or the theological concept of transformation, and yet it remains an utter mystery to me. How does this actually happen? Where do we see actual change? I often wonder if transformation is easier to spot when it goes the opposite direction of what I actually want. For instance, this past week, I can think of times where I've increasingly grown impatient and grumpy with my kids. Looking after their individual needs, their individual desires, it is often challenging for me. They have a lot of feelings. You've seen them run around. They take a lot of energy. I don't always know what to do. And I recognize negative changes in me most in times, like when we're running late for school and I'm starting to bark at them and yell at them, even though it's oftentimes my fault that we're running late. I grow increasingly frustrated when I see them fighting, or most recently when trying to finish this sermon while their mother, who was way more patient and attentive than I, was at work. This resonates with me, this interpretation of us having both good and evil, wheat and tares, this resonates with me and what the writer wrote about the experience of parenting and impatience. And he goes on to quote, and I was reading this week, he says, In my half-caffeinated, tired and anxious state, my pattern has been to turn to empty threats of consequences in progressively louder statements that ultimately end in me yelling. The empty threats thing. Don't listen. They're real. They're not listening. When these episodes occur, I ask myself in frustration, and I say, how did I get to be so impatient? When did this happen? Who have I become? Who am I becoming? If we take the viewpoint that this parable is about us as individuals and that we are both the wheat and the tares, we could see how the gospel is the thing that transforms us. We are humans and we are created in the image of God. And this image has been tarnished and marred by the reality that we have been born into a fallen and sinful world, and that all of creation is marred and is now fallen and not as it should be. These tares then represent the sin that needs to be rooted out of all of us are burned away in the refining fire or the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. We need to repent, and we need to ask the Spirit to toil away and do work within us as a good gardener, to remove these blemishes and refine us to be who we were meant to be, fully ourselves and fully human as creatures created by a loving God. This parable then reminds us that we all should actually have hope and not fear, for God is patient. Going back again to Chrysostom, he says, even the weeds can be changed by the gospel. So let us be patient with ourselves and hope and believe that the Spirit is at work in us, tending to the garden of our soil. And let us all seek ways to participate in that work, so that a God who is infinitely patient with us may work in us and through us to continue our reconciliation and the reconciliation of the whole world back to its Creator. Amen.